Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is David Courtright, an American scholar and peace activist. He's the Director of Policy Studies at the Kroc Institute for International Peace Studies at the University of Notre Dame. And in 1978, he was named the Executive Director of the Committee for a Sane Nuclear Policy, which under his direction became the largest disarmament organization in the United States. He then initiated a merger of Sane and the Nuclear Weapons Freeze Campaign. His recent books are Towards Nuclear Zero and Ending Obama's War. Welcome to Background Briefing, David Courtright.
Thank you, Ian. Good to be with you.
And in as much as you've written about ending Obama's war, it does seem at least if Afghanistan is Obama's war, obviously he inherited it, but he said he could do a better job, and now he's apparently pulling out. But it does seem, in terms of the people who want to take, who want Obama's job, the Republicans running for president, all of them seem to be stepping over each other to have a war with Iran.
It's quite crazy. They're the most hawkish bunch you could ever imagine, and they're just making these outrageous statements and threatening Iran, and no one seems to be commenting upon it in the press. So.
Well, but at the same time that they're calling for a war with Iran, they're also, at least in terms of Santorum and Gingrich, are also moralizing about their faith and in suggesting that Obama, in the case of Rick Santorum's aide, said that he has a radical Islamist agenda. So they question Obama's faith, but at the same time, they're sort of, you know, being holier than thou about their own faith. So, again, is there anybody calling them on the inconsistencies about Christian dogma? And I'm not sure anywhere in the Bible, I know there's quite a lot of blood in the Old Testament, but I'm not sure that Jesus Christ was about killing thousands of people in foreign lands.
No, exactly. And for these candidates, they seem to confine their notion of religiosity to questions about birth control and abortion, but never care to address the very strong ethical, moral teaching that is within Christianity against killing, against war. In the Catholic tradition, there's a very strong sense that war is unjust. It's always considered evil, even when it may be necessary to protect the innocent in certain limited circumstances. War is a sin, and it is never to be considered something that we are supporting, that we would do on our own voluntarily, only under necessity. So the religious teaching of Christianity and the core message of the Christian gospel is overwhelmingly oriented towards alternatives to war. Turn the other cheek. Give the coat in addition to your cloak. And all of these teachings are designed to suggest that we should look for other ways to solve our problems, not through war and killing, but through discussion and through dialogue and trying to care for the needy and the downtrodden. So all of these kind of messages are not there, and yet they claim to be Christian. It's totally alien to what most of us understand to be the real Christian message.
Again, I'm speaking with David Courtright, an American scholar and peace activist. He's the Director of Policy Studies at the Kroc Institute for International Peace Studies at the University of Notre Dame. And a part of this so-called issue that I think is largely a fraudulent issue that Fox News and others are ginning up, and that's the idea that President Obama is waging a war against religion.
That's preposterous, actually. You know, and of course we know from his background that, you know, he, when he was a community organizer in Chicago, he worked with the churches, and actually one of the first programs that he received financial support for in terms of his organizing activities was from a Catholic charity organization. So he's very connected to the church. And when he came to Notre Dame in 2009, when he was first elected, he gave a tremendously eloquent and powerful speech, which was well received by the graduates and by the large crowd that was there. And our president here, Father John Jenkins, was very courageous and stood his ground in saying that it's proper for a great university to invite the president, and it's an honor that he would come. and that we're open to listening to what he has to say. So there is a close understanding that President Obama has of the Catholic community because of his own community organizing work there in Chicago and because of his own understanding of Christianity and his genuine faith.
But when one of Rick Santorum's top aides refers to the president having a radical Islamic agenda, just sort of tossing it off as though that was an accepted fact. Today on MSNBC, Franklin Graham, the son of the famous evangelist Billy Graham, also questioned not just Obama's Christianity, but suggested that he may well be a Muslim. And as you know, Donald Trump, another would-be Republican candidate, made that a centerpiece that Obama has a fake birth certificate, I guess implying that somehow he was born in Kenya. What explains the lack of moral sanctions against just outright lies?
Yeah, it's very disturbing that these kinds of outrageous statements can be made by prominent public figures and no one gets called on it. It's unfortunately, I guess, a reflection of our media age that one can say almost anything and get away with it. But it also, I think, reflects a strong bias against Obama by many of these major news organizations, certainly Fox Television, there's no secret about that, and many of these right-wing Christian evangelical organizations have been adamantly opposed to Obama and to Democratic Party policies in general for many years. They could almost be seen as fronts for the Republican Party, and really even not just the Republican Party, but the right wing of the Republican Party. So it's a reflection of how our society has been distorted by the dominant influence that these voices have. And they seem to be especially significant in matters related to Israel and then Israel's great fear of Iran. And so these evangelical Christian organizations are in some cases very strongly Zionist in the very right-wing interpretation of that concept and are more than willing to see any kind of criticism of Obama for not being supposedly strong enough in supporting Israel, whereas, in fact, the administration's policies have been, I would say, overly supportive of the Netanyahu government, of these right-wing policies that the current Israeli government is advocating. So it's really politically motivated when you get right down to it, in my opinion, and has nothing to do with Christianity, that's for sure, or of any genuine interpretation of religious teaching on these important ethical issues.
Well, David Cartwright, there's a real fear, and this has been expressed by the Secretary of Defense and by the Pentagon itself and by the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, that they have no guarantees that Israel will not strike Iran. Panetta said recently to the Washington Post that they're afraid that it could happen in the spring or the summer. It's certainly not off the table. And it raises this question about nuclear proliferation, the idea that Iran is seen as a great threat by a country, Israel, that has up to 200 nuclear weapons. Obviously, if Iran does get nuclear weapons, that would probably stimulate the Saudi Arabians. They probably would just simply buy one from Pakistan. Pakistan, of course, is almost a failed state and yet has the fastest growing nuclear weapon arsenal on the planet. They've just surpassed France and I believe England in their numbers of nuclear weapons. So into this, and of course you headed up the SANE Nuclear Committee for a SANE Nuclear Policy, and then you eventually merged that SANE with the Nuclear Weapons Freeze Campaign and have written a recent book, Towards Nuclear Zero. Obviously, there's always been a problem on the part of the United States in terms of preaching non-proliferation because we have thousands of nuclear weapons and we consider other countries getting them to be unacceptable, in particular in this case, Iran. There's some indications that President Obama is entertaining a radical reduction in nuclear weapons. Are you following that?
Yes, and I think you're right, first of all, about the inconsistency and one might even say hypocrisy of our nonproliferation policy, that we cling to still thousands of these weapons. We give a complete pass to Israel, which, as you say, has 200 nuclear weapons, and are applying all of this pressure and even these veiled military threats against Iran, when Iran does not have a nuclear weapon. This has been confirmed many times by our own top U.S. intelligence agencies and by the U.N. international inspectors. It does have a nuclear program. It could conceivably build a nuclear weapon after some effort of maybe a year or two or more, but it does not have a nuclear weapon. So we need to have a consistent policy. And the way we are having it now is we're trying to tell everyone else to get rid of the weapons while we cling to them. It's like, you know, you can't preach temperance from a bar stool. You know, you have to give up the drink yourself and be consistent in opposing these weapons among all players. President Obama has been, I think, quite progressive and made some important contributions in trying to reduce nuclear weapons and in highlighting the goal of a world without nuclear weapons. And this is quite unprecedented. President Reagan and Bush the first did negotiate significant reductions in strategic nuclear weapons with the old Soviet Union. But President Obama is the first president to really try to highlight this goal of getting rid of these weapons entirely. Now, we haven't made much progress in that direction, but we're making a little bit. And the news reports that the Pentagon and the White House are considering further significant reductions, and that some have talked about that we could go down to just a couple hundred weapons and still be completely secure in the nuclear sense in terms of being able to deter any nuclear attack. That's very encouraging. And actually, some of us who've been studying these issues over the years have been saying exactly this for, you know, actually decades, that instead of the 30,000 that we used to have and the 3,000 or 4,000 that we still have now, we could go down to a couple hundred and still be within the logic of a nuclear deterrence policy. And once we got to that level, it would be great progress. It would be a wonderful day for our government's policy. And once we got to that level, then we could begin to seriously work down towards zero in partnership, of course, with other countries. So that they're considering these steps is good news, and let's hope that they actually begin to implement some of them.
Well, just in closing, David Courtright, just to return to the discussion of the moralizing that's now going on in the Republican primaries, particularly with Rick Santorum. And it raises questions not about what he talks about, freedom of religion and in terms of the First Amendment, but the way that he's talking about homeschooling and not having a prenatal screening for women and not having contraceptives available to women is almost raises the question of that we need freedom from religion, in as much as he seems to be imposing his values and on the rest of us, and that's what he expects us to live like he does. Again, it raises this fundamental question when they're talking about so aggressively about attacking Iran in terms of the nuclear issue and reducing the arsenals. It's always struck me, you know, particularly during the Cold War, this incredible misapplication of priorities, that we were refining the redundancy of death at the expense of the quality of life. And that's always been inherent in our enormous amount of defense spending, which, of course, we almost outspend the entire world combined in terms of defense spending. Again, I don't see these pro-life people pointing out how much our policies are pro-death.
Well, that's a very good point. And again, if you look at the teaching of the Catholic bishops of the Vatican, look at the teachings of the major Protestant and other Christian denominations, they've been consistently advocating that we need to reduce military spending, that our military posture and our nuclear weapons postures are not only immoral in the sense that they kill or threaten to kill thousands, tens of thousands, even millions of people if we were to ever use nuclear weapons, but they are a theft from the poor. They divert resources, precious economic resources that are needed to uplift the needy and those who are less fortunate in life, and instead divert those resources to mechanisms of death and destruction and to these giant corporations that are already super rich and that are benefiting further from these excessive and unnecessary military expenditures. These candidates who advocate these kinds of positions and claim to be Christians are truly hypocrites, in my view. This is not anything like Christianity or any form of actual religious commitment. All the great faiths talk about the need to help the needy in Judaism, Christianity, Islam, the idea of justice and mercy and compassion, especially for the needy and the downtrodden, and that we are required by our faith, if we're serious about it, to help these people and to commit ourselves to prevent violence and war. So these are the true values of religion and of Christianity, and what we're hearing from the candidates is hypocrisy. It's a politicization of religion, actually. They claim that the Muslim extremists use the religion to exploit people, and partly that's true, but we seem to hear similar kinds of messages from our own candidates who claim to be so religious, but in fact are using their religion to articulate an extremist position and one that is directly intended to undermine progressive policies from the Obama administration and from other political supporters of these kinds of policies to help the poor and to work against war and against nuclear weapons.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here today, David Cortright.
Thank you, Ian.
Again, I've been speaking with David Cortright, an American scholar and peace activist. He's the Director of Policy Studies at the Kroc Institute for International Peace Studies at the University of Notre Dame. And in 1978, he was named Executive Director of the Committee for a Sane Nuclear Policy, which under his direction became the largest disarmament organization in the United States. He then initiated the merger of Sane and the Nuclear Weapons Freeze Campaign. His most recent books are Towards Nuclear Zero and Ending Obama's War. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now. Bye.